Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's your boy Corey,
Dan,
and Delatory.
Top of the top. Sorry for my absence last week, but we back at it, same corner, same time, and the same crew. What's up with it, fellas?
Back at it again. It was we held it down without you. Once I found out that you were in Orlando, we knew it was a lost cause. You know,
man, I underestimated those Disney World streets for sure. Man, thought I could get there in a. The hotel wasn't far away at all, but I underestimated the traffic for sure.
Yeah, were you around iDrive?
International. Everything's drive? Around iDrive, but it was more that's like true, Disney, yeah. Disney Springs area. Mm. Wasn't far from there, but like leaving was a zoo. Summertime madness as far as vacation and all that stuff is definitely in the flow of things, man. So
yeah,
ended up missing. I didn't get to the song, but somebody was saying, yeah, you could tell Sip wasn't on the show because of. The song in the end.
Yeah, he had an Irish
jingle. Hold on. I have no fear.
Irish jingle.
I have no fear of putting my Irish jigs on when you're here. Your absence had nothing to do with the song. There is no fear in my Irish jig game.
Respect. I mean, I respect all music, man, so no need to be afraid of the Irish jingles. What was it?
The song is called Rattlin' Bog.
Okay. Happy anniversary, Nick.
Yeah. Thank you. We're here in St. Augustine, same hotel. We didn't get married at this hotel, but we stayed at this hotel when we got married. So, get a couple days up here in St. Augustine. Tied one on last night. And as soon as we're done with the podcast, I'm a professional, so we're here sober. But as soon as the podcast is over, yeah. We'll be beginning to tie another one on today.
Okay. That's what's up.
Drinking alone, because we have a stowaway. We have a stowaway on the trip, so I'm drinking for three. It's the cross that I carry this weekend, drinking for three.
Nick, you got some Van Winkle, some Rip Van Winkle yesterday, 10-year.
I see it.
You can tell that it is 100 proof, 107 proof. But not a bad bourbon to sip on at Prohibition Kitchen. I didn't know that Prohibition Kitchen had some really nice bottles. I mean, they had like...
Had nice bourbon, or
I don't know. It's like a restaurant too. Also, in a very like highly touristy.
It's kind of like a nightclub too. It is kind of a weird mix of a restaurant, speakeasy, and nightclub all in one. All at the same time too.
Yeah, no. There's speakeasy
at such a busy spot. Like, how you pull off a speakeasy at a spot that got that much going on? Usually, it's like low key.
It's not real. Of all the things Dan just said that it was, I would say a speakeasy is the last one.
Probably more craft cocktails. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. More craft cocktail than speakeasy. It was a very, very good bourbon. He asked if I wanted 1 or 2 ounces. I said, it's my anniversary. Let's go with 2. Delicious.
Yeah. Go ahead. No, you go ahead. I get about- trolled a lot because people don't like the way that I drink my Pappy.
How do you drink it?
That it came. So I got lost yesterday. Well, first I was lost in the sauce, and then somebody was like, I can't believe I read a tweet wrong, and I thought they were like making it like a race thing with Silk, and I was like looking at the bottle and I'm like, is this like weird? And then I remembered, oh, they mean I'm drinking it neat, unlike Dan.
Yeah.
Who enjoys his Pappy.
Let's make it clear here. I have made a number of drinks that did not include Pappy, but threw a couple of the bottles of Pappy that I've had in my life next to that drink, just to make the internet mad. So I responded to this guy, Lex the Great. I asked him yesterday if I should mix this bottle of Pappy that I have with Sprite or Vanilla Cherry Coke Zero. He responded that I'm a domestic terrorist and should be locked away for my crimes.
I co-sign that, man.
Yeah,
you might be.
Yeah, I co-sign that, bro.
I do not drink the Pappy Van Winkle that I have. Every time that I post a drink like that, it's to get you up in arms, which job well done to me. Silk, I went scalloping this weekend, buddy. Go ahead, man. Yeah, what?
Another year of scalping without your boy, bro. I've been telling you I want to. That's crazy. Like, I don't know.
0 for 5 on invites. Yeah. That's
how do
on
I get
me.
An invite? How do I get an invite, bro? I want to take in the scalping culture. But how was your weekend?
Dude, scalloping is so much fun.
Scalloping, not scalping.
Been, yeah.
Scalping, I don't want to do no scalping, coach.
I take that back. Indians are doing. Yeah.
I take that back.
Scalloping. It's on the west coast of Florida, kind of at Crystal River, if you're familiar with that area, maybe an hour north of Tampa, kind of through the panhandle. It starts a couple weeks ago, runs through, September. But they're a little bay scallop, so they're in, a shell about yay big, maybe 2 inches, 2.5 inches, and they're in the bottom of seagrass, right? So you're normal snorkeling in about 2 to 5 feet of water, and you have a little net, and you just go and you just grab as many scallops as you can, up to 5 gallons, and that's what you're allowed to have right now. Steinhatchee, where we went, is up north a little bit, kind of where the curve of Florida is. Definitely a fishing village, not a lot of restaurants, not a lot of things to do other than, be with friends and family and enjoy the river and the bay out there. Their scallop season opens a little bit earlier than like the Crystal River, Homosassa area, part of Florida. But if you've never done it, it's a really fun, chill activity. Usually you can limit yourself out in a couple of hours and just hang out on the boat, listen to music, good vibes, good energy. And it can, anybody can do it, right? So it's not nothing super high tech about it or super fancy about it. Just a really good time out there. So we go with my uncle and aunt. My parents came up this year again. So it was just us this year. So it was a great time.
That's 5 gallons per boat.
5 gallons per boat. Towards the end of the year, you're allowed to get a bit more. But scallops are still growing and they want to make sure that there's certainly enough for the season. The 5 gallons will probably get you about 1.25 pounds of actual scallops. And so these are small bay scallops. So, you can eat more of them, but that's certainly enough to feed a family very, very well and have extras left over.
And with the picture you posted, what were the scallops in there?
Those are little, just like, shells that you can put on top of a grill. So you put a little butter, a little paprika, a little garlic in there, and then you just cook those on an open flame for, 10 minutes or so.
Delicious.
Don't take long
at all. Really a fun time. So... All right, gentlemen. So let's get into the show. For the guy that timestamps every time when we stop talking about our lives, it's 8:44 into the show. Gentlemen, the Gators landed a couple of football recruits over the last week. So want to go over that. But before we do, right now, let me pull up the link that Nick sent. Florida is ranked 40th in recruiting right now, I believe. They are only ahead of Vanderbilt in the SEC right now. It is still, it's now July, but the Gators ranked 40th in the country, so still a lot of work to do, just 8 total commits. Only a few schools, Ole Miss, has 9. Florida State has 9. But outside of that, a lot of the teams ahead of them are in the 12, 13, 14 range. But not to dwell too much on that, the Gators did land wide receiver Joshua Moore, 6'4", 205 pounds from West Broward High School from Pembroke Pines, Florida, ranked as the 197th overall player in the country. According to the On3 industry average, the 24th best wide receiver and 27th best player in the state of Florida. On3 as a site themselves does have him ranked as the 57th overall player in the country and the number 9 wide receiver in the country. But a big get for the Florida Gators, another player out of South Florida, which the Gators I know desperately wanted and needed to go after and get some more talent out of the area. But Silk, you weren't here last week. We kind of discussed him a little bit. Any thoughts on Josh Moore?
Great get. Shout out to the staff for answering my questions as far as size wise. We've been doing good at receiver with rankings, but we've been missing some size. They answered that with a 6'4 guy, 205 pounds, could scratch the field, jump ball. Good get. I don't know who's ultimately responsible for it because Billy Napier does have a receiver background, got some elite guys on his track record. But either between one of the Billies, we got a very good kid. And we've also been complaining about not being in South Florida. You get right back into Broward, bringing in one of those killers, get some of that energy into the locker room a little bit. So great get. Film is incredible. This kid still has a lot of ceiling to touch. You know, like there's a lot of room for growth. But upside is crazy. Top 10 receiver. We just got to pile more on. And it's going to be a little – we just talking about where we rank, but you got to consider the last three seasons, what we put on the field.
Yeah.
People are going to want to see improvement. I don't know if it's just going to be offensive style. I think we're going to also have to, like, win some football games this fall. Joshua Moore spoke on even the relationship or us having the quarterback, DJ Lagway. So Lagway didn't cash in as well as I thought we should have last year with some of the receivers that we was after, but those dividends are paying off this year as well. So just having an elite arm in the locker room pays dividends.
Absolutely. Let me give you Keith Niebuhr is able to sit down with his head coach at West Broward High School, Brian McCartney. He said that he's barely scratched the surface. He said they haven't had a big time receiver like this, talking about Florida. That tall, 6'4", 205 pound guy that breaks down like a slot receiver. Thanks to his coach, Kadeem Goulborn at West Broward and his work he's done with him. I think what people don't know about him, he's close to 1,500 pounds in the weightlifting, power cleaning, deadlifting, squats, and bench. I want to say he was 1,485 this last max out, and that's at a wide receiver. And he just turned 17 years old. He does have a 3.7 GPA and will be an early enrollee. So obviously a lot more to him than just his athletic prowess. Beyond that, he said Florida's getting a young man that's probably one of the hardest working kids that they could get, a loyalty kid. He's been with us at West Broward for 4 years. Every school that's down in South Florida has been trying to take him from us, probably St. Thomas, trying to transfer
portal
to
high school.
100%.
And he stayed loyal to his family. Great kid. My daughter is real close to him as a brother. She's 8. He's just a nice kid to everybody around school. He says hello to everybody. He has this big, goofy smile all day long. Even at practice, he could be running. He could be dying. And he looks at you and has that goofy smile. So a lot of great things to say about him as a person.
He would be lucky to get a great education from St. Thomas Aquinas if he wanted to pursue that for his last year of college or high school.
We'll take care of that at UF. What is he an early enrollee? What's his status?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, graduates in December and will be an early enrollee.
Like that. We just got to hold on to him now. You know, recruiting really begins in November in my mind. Mm-hmm. So I'm not losing That's my wild. Mind because we're 40th. I'm not losing my mind if we get recruits because all of it really begins around the end of the season. November.
Absolutely. He held offers from Miami, Florida State, LSU, Georgia, Texas A&M, Auburn, Tennessee, and the list goes on and on and on. Even an offer from Campbell.
Go Camels.
So, go Camels. So the Gators grab him. Go ahead.
Is it the suit people?
Yeah, I don't believe so.
Different people.
Okay.
Different people.
If they were the suit people, that the football team would be fantastic. Can you imagine an NIL deal?
Yeah.
The whole football team doing chunky
Chunky tomato soup. Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Shrey. What was that? Shrey Hand that had the chunky tomato deal?
No, yeah. That was Jerome Bettis with his mom.
And I think Shrey Hand did too with his mom.
Yeah, yeah. It was a whole campaign.
Yeah, it's a whole campaign. Obviously not memorable for Nick. Didn't speak to him, I guess.
Jerome Bettis absolutely did a Campbell's chunky soup commercial with his mom.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. The Gators also landed on Saturday. Tayshawn Gelce from Riverside High School in Jacksonville, Florida. A three-star tight end will be the second tight end in this class, along with Micah Jones, who committed a few weeks ago. Ranked as the number 711th player in the country, the number 41 tight end in the country, and the number 88 overall player in the state of Florida. So 6'4", 210 pounds, probably your more receiving type of tight end compared to Micah Jones, who's 6'4", 250 pounds. Gators beat out Tulane, UCF, Auburn, Kentucky, a number of other programs, Auburn, Maryland, Cincinnati, and the like. Any thoughts on Tayshawn Gelce, boys?
My initial thoughts is he's undersized for what they want at tight end, is my initial thoughts. More of a pass catching tight end. I don't know, like, where in the offense he fits for what I've seen so far.
So I think it was Ike Hilliard, because I'm not doing much other than retweeting while I'm out here on this PTO. And I think Ike Hilliard popped up and said, coached him and coached against him and said, next Kyle Pitts.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot.
It might be too much,
but it's coming from a Gator legend.
Yeah,
I understand that, but sometimes I think we set these kids up for failure because now that's what people are going to think. You know,
I haven't dived into his film to see if the athleticism is on par with a Kyle Pitts. Can we get that screaming on here a little bit?
So, yeah, we sure can.
Have you guys seen it? You guys think that's a different type of athleticism with Kyle Pitts, bro?
Like, yeah, well, I mean, first off, it's the size with Kyle Pitts. Size here is similar, 6'4", 210. I think Kyle Pitts was probably around 210, 215 when he showed up to campus. I remember when he showed up to campus.
It's the other shit that's hard. Like, the other stuff that Kyle do was difficult. 6'4",
that's kind of what I was getting at, was like the athleticism that Pitts had at 6'4", and then probably when he left, 6'4", 240 was not common.
Freakish.
Yeah, I'd have to probably. I'm pulling up his highlight film right now. I'd probably have to watch Kyle Pitts. This is the thing, you know. Kyle Pitts was Kyle Pitts his second and third year, not his first year, right? So, or in high school, right? He was athletic.
Not even really his second year. It was that.
I think it was like more the of his end third of his year. Year. Yeah, and I think a lot of people saw promise in him when he committed to UF. We're going to run through a quick ad here on his highlight film before I pull it up. But I think, you know, Kyle Pitts has, you know, it's easy to look back at Kyle Pitts and be like, see, obviously that was, you know, easy to see, right? You know, his size, his speed, his ability to get the 50-50 balls and high point the ball in the air. But I also don't want to set this kid up for failure if he's not Kyle Pitts.
He also has an 83-inch wingspan, which is like crazy. As well, all 6'4 guys don't have that. So I think he had the attributes to like turn into some freakish things. Like Kyle Pitts coming in, even when I saw him, because that was a cider guy. I remember vividly a little bit. Him coming in, it was to me, I thought he could play receiver. Okay. If you're listening on Spotify, we're watching the highlight video a little bit. Oh, shit, he's lining up at receiver. Okay, yeah. I can see a little bit. I see some jump ball stuff going on there. Looks like a receiver body.
But he is, like you said, so very different than the rest of the tight ends that Florida has
100%
on their roster, right? Even I guess Keon Zipper is probably the closest. I'm not even sure he's, you know, Zipper's I don't know, you know. Yeah, I'm not even sure, right? So
I take that back. Yeah, I see. Ike might be right, dog. I see some potential here. I ain't gonna lie to you. The jump ball is crazy. He catching screens and making people miss,
barreling down the field. The athleticism is definitely there. Yeah, Yeah, I see a little bit, but I mean, again, that's tough. You know what I mean?
That guy's not moving like a tight end.
Put some respect on Ike's comp.
Evaluation. Is Ike his coach? Like, not as obviously his head coach, but how does Ike know him?
No, I think Ike said he coached him, but coaches against him. Where is Ike right now?
I thought Ike was he's a wide receiver coach. I know that he was with the Commanders for a while, and then I know he was with the Jets, I believe, or the Bills.
He is with – oh, he's with Dan. He's with Dan Quinn now with the Falcons.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, this kid's just running straight fade routes, and yeah, he's doing wide receiver things, man.
Yeah, I mean, he might be a wide receiver for his high school, right? Or,
yeah, yeah,
I guess he's probably the best player on his team, so they'll probably line him up wherever and just get him the ball. Let's see.
Like, his fam's so good at receiver. I wonder what makes him want to be a tight end. Like, who's telling him to play tight end?
Me. He might still.
I wonder what the
growing to do.
Top end speed is.
Well, he just stacked that DB, and then lost him.
That was a good. That was a good throw by the quarterback.
Think we should get him too?
No.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Gators do.
Like,
need
bro, look how he's making people miss. Like, no, this kid. I like this kid. I like this whole kid. I wasn't familiar with his game. But I like this get. I like his athleticism. I'm not mad at the comp.
Yeah, that was a great catch right there.
Yeah.
I think a solid player, probably a guy that's going to rise the rankings quite a bit. You know, again, you're looking at fresh and sophomore junior film. There's only time that you get to review all this time or all this film before. Play, man.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the film. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm just looking at the film.
No, like, so obviously there's a lot that can happen between the offseason and the next season in terms of rankings. Again, you know, a guy that I think had been slotted to come to the Gators now for a while in terms of his commitment. You know, at the end of the day, looks like a good player. Obviously, we're watching highlight film here, so you just never 100% know. But last year had a pretty good year. I think overall just a solid get for the Gators as they continue to round out this class. So that's where the Gators sit right now. I know we've talked a little bit about Vernell Brown III. I know his commitment is potentially happening this summer as well at the wide receiver position. And then last week we discussed wide receiver Nashawn Montgomery. He is from Miami Central, a four-star guy, and the number 36 overall receiver in the country, number 244 overall prospect. He said that he's going to wait a little bit longer into the season. I know that was something that could have happened this summer, but right now it looks to be maybe a second or third week of the summer or of the academic year and football schedule year. He said, I'm going to wait a little bit longer. I've been talking to my family, and I'm going to wait longer, to be honest. It will be whenever it feels right. I think it's going to be after my first or second game at the latest, though. He visited the Gators on May 31st. He's talking heavily to DJ Lagway, which I'm sure a lot of these guys are, as that will be their future pass thrower. He's being recruited by – right now it's a Florida-Penn State battle, it seems. Miami is heavily involved. LSU and Alabama are probably in that second tier of his commitment. And then Clayton Hickson or Hillcox Jr. Said D Webb said that, not Ike Hilliard, which would make a lot more sense.
Yeah, that way definitely make more sense. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, how the hell I see him? Like, that's crazy.
Listen, yeah, that's kind of what I was wondering.
Like I said, I'm on PTO. I'm throwing Gator grades out there. One of them will stick.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get
thank
it.
So yeah, Clayton, thank you.
Yeah, D Webb is a coach of the 7-on-7, or one of the coaches of the 7-on-7 programs there in Jacksonville. Great guy, great Gator. Really supports the program as well. So that's where we sit with recruiting. Are you guys concerned at all about where Florida? I know we kind of touched on it. Are you guys concerned at all about where Florida stands right now in recruiting? I know that we don't follow recruiting as much as maybe some other podcasts and some other folks do, but are you concerned right now? The Gators have 8 commitments in this class, ranked 15th in the SEC. Are you concerned at all right now about where they're at?
No, I'm concerned about the wins. I think if we win, this staff has shown they can recruit. So I think the only thing that's holding them back and the hesitation from the recruits is the product on the field. So my concern is just if we win football games, the recruits will come. If we don't, then we got a problem, especially if we thinking these guys going to get another shot at it because of Lagway in the future of the program. Mm-hmm. And some stability, like not winning games this year could be detrimental to getting talent in. So I'm just more concerned about the wins.
Yeah, it was wild. So before, Keith was down at Montgomery's commitment, and then he asked asked him at the end, like, hey, what do you need to see? How solid is your commitment? He's like, I'm committed right now. But if Florida goes like 2-6, he's like, well, we're going to have to reassess. So I think that's kind of where you're at. Montgomery.
Moore.
Sorry.
Yeah, Joshua Moore. Yeah.
Joshua Moore. Like that was just a crazy statement to make on the day you committed, I think. True. But it is what it is. I appreciate the honesty. And if Florida starts 2-6, like it's going to be that'd be a rough season. The winnable games.
Well,
are,
I think so. I think if Florida starts 2-6, it would be rough.
Yeah, it'd be real rough. I think Porter would be rough as well. I mean, even if you look at that's just where recruiting is as well. So Florida State got some big commitments, and one of the guys, I can't remember the kid's name, but he chose Florida State over Georgia, and he said the same thing. Like, I'm committed now. Like, that's where these kids are at. Like, NIL is going to change, season's going to change, you know, options going to change, offers, all of that. You know, everything changes. Coaches are going to get hired and fired. All of it is temporary, but more so our hesitation is the product on the field and wins and losses and having a consecutive losing season. So we got to correct that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 100%. I think I would like to see Florida a little bit higher, right? Considerably higher, especially because we've seen that they can recruit. Last year, they obviously came off of an under 500 record. This season, I think the rubber's got to hit the road, right? I think there's only so much time that you can sell the future. Now they've brought in a lot of young talent. So it's not as easy just to sell playing time without throwing your current players under the bus. So they're in a bit of a rock and a hard place right now. I think that wins and improvement are going to be the only thing that do sell this program right now. So definitely an interesting time, but they're not used to seeing Florida ranked 40th, 15th in the SEC, which is not ideal, but, you know, is what it is.
So it's I like to say it, and I think how tapped into recruiting I am is well documented. It's only June. Like, I don't care.
It's July now. Yeah.
We're right.
July 1st.
So that's the question. So what is the time when you can you can't say that anymore? So if you just said, like, listen, it's going to change till November, but, like, at what point can I no longer say, like, it's only June, it's only July?
I'm not saying it's only because I don't think it's like the month. I think these guys can close. I think they have a lot of kids that are interested in coming to the University of Florida. The hesitation is wins and losses. And if you can't fix that problem, then you're not going to be able to land these kids. So I'm not looking at the month. I'm not looking at the time. I'm looking at if we got to win football games, period. Mm-hmm. We could be at top five right now. If we had a top five class, we all should still be nervous in July with a top five class. Because if this thing don't go be, you know, showing a different trajectory in the fall, we're just going to lose kids like we lost last year, and everybody's going to panic on signing day like last year. Mm-hmm. So, like, we either repeat the same process of last year. We could be top five right now, and then everything hits the fan. But it's really wins and losses. Like, where we at in June and July doesn't really matter if we don't win football games this fall. We got to win football games. You're muted, Nick.
I'm just reading the comments here. I don't know that Nathaniel said, until our fan base starts showing some loyalty to our coaching staff, we shouldn't expect these kids to show the same. I don't think the kids care if the fans are loyal to the staff. I think the kids are looking at NIL deals, and then if the staff is there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think other programs are negative recruiting us too, right? They are saying, hey, bro, Billy's on his way out. Right? Yeah. They're saying that they got consecutive losing seasons. They're saying the lack of continuity with our staff, like, we're losing.
Are you sure that's not just the Florida fan base who's negatively recruiting Billy by saying those things?
No, if I'm Kirby Smart, that's what I'm telling the recruit. Like, yeah. You sure you want to go there? You know, like, their blue chip ratio is ranked 11th this fall. Like, there's really no excuses to sell. If you got the 11th ranked blue chip ratio, we believe in these type of stats, which we do as fans, if we have that type of ratio and we're ranked that high as far as talent, there's no reason for us not to go win 8-9 games. So that's an easy negative sell if I'm Kirby Smart. If I'm Mike Norvell or anybody else that's going against the University of Florida, it's like, yo, we got winning seasons. Like, I know they're trying to sell you on the future, but when is the future? It's been 3 years of losing seasons. When does the future happen? So, and they're not just, like, negative doing that to our, like, recruits. I'm pretty sure our roster is getting hit with some shenanigans as well with portal stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm torn here because I think that Florida should naturally be ranked higher than they are now. And when a lot of these guys, right, if you look through that list, there's a lot of schools that have, let me just pull up that list again. There's a number of schools that have 15, 18, 20 commits already, right? And Silk, I think you make a point, right? Like, being ranked fifth right now doesn't mean anything, but are you concerned, right? 21, 20, 12, 17, 14, 21, 13, 16, 9, and 19 is the top 10 right now in terms of number of commits. I think that is probably a little bit concerning to me just about their ability to, you've got to be able to sell a vision in a future. And yes, you can sell wins, and yes, you can sell the opportunity, but you have to be able to get some players now. When you look at the sheer number of players that are committed elsewhere, I feel like you're going to be really climbing up a steep hill where it might be a little bit too little, too late. Because a lot of these kids are going elsewhere and flipping kids. I know we say it's easy with NIL and everything else, but I just don't know if it's as easy as we make it say it is, or we say it is, to just flip and offer these guys more money. Because then they start to become ingrained with the team and the coaching staff and the conversations and the relationship that they now have, that it's easy to say, hey, we'll just go flip a bunch of kids later. But right now the number of people that are on the market is decreasing. And we do know how hard it is to flip candidates from other, or flip recruits from other schools.
But that's probably my
bigger concern.
Our problem is we're at where we're at because of wins and losses. Like, so none of it matters. Like, we could, it's just if we're trying to diagnose why are we at the spot we are recruiting, the staff hasn't been 40th this entire time they've been here. Mm-hmm. Now, like, the fans, you're getting the last year we finished okay, and fans were like, oh, well, they still recruited decently for what we finished. Mm-hmm. Now, like, this cycle, like, of kids are looking like, all right, 3 years in, where's the wins? Like, where's the product? Where's the success? And mm-hmm. we're at 40th right now because we're not winning football games, period. It's going to be a steep hill to climb, like you said.
Yeah.
But they made their bed with the product they put on the field mm-hmm. last year.
Yeah.
And they're dealing with it. And the only way to fix that is to win football games. Like, you got to have a good season to show some promise.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think back to, like, the Muschamp. Like, it was easy for them to get defensive guys, right? Like, yeah. You watch that product on the field, and it was like, yeah, I want to play safety on that defense. I want to play linebacker on that defense. But they would sign seven safeties a class, and you wouldn't have enough room for offensive linemen. So it was what it was on offense. What has Florida shown on offense that would get a kid from South Florida who plays receiver or running back or tight end to be like, yeah, I want to sign up for that? Are you battling that more than wins and losses? Like, just what the offense looks like to get kids to come?
That's why, in my opinion, you got to have Lagway play this fall as well. You got to sell him. You got to sell like him being the future a little bit. Like,
you're already hearing that from guys who are visiting.
Like, correct.
They're talking about Lagway like this is a returning starter who won a championship. Right. Which is part of the reason why getting that five-star quarterback is so important. Because it starts to recruit your program for you.
Right. But yeah, that's the answer to this. I know there's people in the chat saying, I don't know what loyalty, the fans, we have a loyal fan base. And I know, like, we're just so entrenched in it, but I'm telling you right now, like, we have a very loyal, even the players that I'm interviewing, you have Scarlett and the Kevins, they went through the 4-8 seasons. And those guys are like, bro, we have a very loyal fan base that support Of course, you're going to have your one-offs of these rabid fans that go crazy, but that's really just an echo chamber of small, Twitter smaller than what people think. And on the grand scheme of it all, Florida fans support Billy Napier and every other coach until the wins don't come. If the wins ain't there, then it ain't on the fans, bro. Like, the fans got one job, and that's to cheer, buy tickets, and support, get angry. All that stuff is fan, normal fan stuff, getting mad. But the coaches got to put a product on the field. 11 players, you know, that can all get out there on every down and execute. You know, the play calling, every aspect of the game, special teams, coach, so we're not making the same mistakes. And it's one thing, like, we're Florida fans are also not dumb fans. We're very knowledgeable, smart fans when it comes, like, Steve Spurrier spoiled us with putting a good product on the field, a competent product. Then you had even, like, this is the worst we've ever been, just to keep it plain, as far as product on the field. And we're getting the results of that. While these guys can recruit at a high level and overcome some of their deficiencies on the field, that's only going to last for so long. And now we're starting to see that, bro. Like, you got to win football games. You got to sell the future. You got to have Lagway some packages to have this thing show some promise. If we go out and win five, six games with no Lagway touching the field, no packages for him, that class is going to fall apart.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. Right? Yeah. You're in that inevitable rock in a hard place that you can no longer sell a rebuild. You can no longer sell just early playing time. You have to now prove it on the field, and you have to show that you can develop these guys. You know, the number 7 recruiting class last year, and you know, a top 12, 13 class year before, all the transfer portal to say, hey, that's where I'm going to put my future. So again, that's a tough position for Florida to be in right now, and which is why they are in ranked 40th, 15th in the SEC. Obviously, we don't think that Florida will finish 15th in the SEC. And if anybody cares, I know a lot of people seem to care about Ole Miss. Ole Miss is ranked 37th in Lane Kiffin. So
it's time to win, bro. That's where it's at, man. Like, I'm a fanatic of Gator football, but it's time to win games, bro. Like, from a person covering it, from a person cheering for it, dog, like, this thing needs to be fun. And it hasn't been fun. It's been the fans versus fans and all of that stuff. And that's what happened when we're losing. Like, it's time to get the wins. You can't make excuses for anybody this fall. You got the 11th rank blue chip ratio. You had 3 years. You got the transfer portal. It's time to win or not win, but there's no more excuses, in my opinion.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to Bud Davis, who we've had on the show. He put some numbers together just now about Florida's official visits. They've used 39 of the 70 that they're allotted for the year. 7 have committed. 15 have committed elsewhere. 17 right now remain uncommitted. They've used 5. Let me understand how he's reading this. 0 of the 5 players that have officially visited on the offensive line have committed to Florida. They've all committed elsewhere. 2 out of the 17 guys that have visited on the defensive line have committed. Just are 4 of the 9 wide receivers and running backs that have come onto campus, and then 15 of the 22 skill position players have committed to University of Florida after their official visits. So let's see, 31 official visits to go. Obviously, we expect some players that have committed, or pardon me, that have visited to potentially commit in the future. But right now, those numbers don't seem ideal either.
Yeah, we got the environment like to change the momentum of recruiting, I think. Like, you winning football games, players coming into the swamp, like, it's a different type of experience when you come here. You got your future quarterback. If he start getting hot and get some momentum, and people start the ESPNs and all the college media start hyping him up, you can change this thing. But ultimately, you got to win football games, bro. All this is based on wins and losses. We can't carry Napier with the excuses no more, bro. It's a wrap.
Speaking of environments, let's just do a couple quick ad reads, and we got a bunch of other stuff to get to. Quick shout out to our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. If you're looking for a really cool cup similar to this one, go check out Game Time Sidekicks, GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code Stadium 15. That'll get you 15% off of your order. They have a bunch of great cups there for the University of Florida, as well as a number of other major schools around the country. Great products, just as good as their rivals that you've probably heard of in terms of cups, but for significantly cheaper. Quality is just as strong, if not better. I drink out of nothing but these Game Time Sidekick cups now. So again, GameTimeSidekicks.com, promo code STADIUM15. We'll get you 15% off of your order. All right, gentlemen. EA Sports came out with their rankings of offense and defense, and just overall not bonkers, right? Like, who would have thought EA Sports would come up with a good comprehensive list here that made a lot of sense? Gators not ranked in the offensive top 25, as you can imagine. Not ranked in the overall top 25, but do come in with the number 25 overall defense, ranked 84th, which is tied with seven other programs: Kansas State, North Carolina, Louisville, Oklahoma State, Colorado, Texas A&M, pardon me, and LSU. Ohio State is ranked number one. We don't have to give any big thought pieces on that. Just thought that was interesting. There, you guys getting the game or?
It's going to be in my house because my son, you know, so it'll be here. I'll be getting housed by my son in the first half, per usual.
Can't let it happen.
I don't want it to happen, but it keeps happening in Madden, you know what I'm saying? So I'm expecting the same. Kids got time, bro. I got responsibilities and things to do, and he could play that shit all day. So that's the difference. We'll play when he
becomes an adult. You got to take him out fishing more. You gotta take him out fishing more.
I'm tired of fishing because, I'm going to be honest with you.
When he goes, fishing, you got to get your practice reps in.
Yeah, I get it, Chuck. I get it, buddy.
Bruh, that's a lot. Yeah, I'm baked, bruh. Like, we caught some ugly thing called a snakehead. Caught it. I didn't catch it. I'm new to fishing. I haven't been fishing. And plus, most of my fishing was in Belgrade days. I've never seen such an ugly creature in my life. Like, a lot of the stuff we're catching, I've never heard of before. I'm having to Google. But it's a lot of invasive things, not from Florida and our canals and shit, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. And John Wilcox, yes, they did do a leftover right gator chomp in the promo video. So hopefully we can do some quick rendering and change that.
Even left-handed Tim Tebow went right over left.
Right over left.
I mean, it's very obvious, right? I mean, this is something that we've talked about as a society for a long time. We didn't get to talk about this last week. It was on the agenda, but figured it would be better to talk about this week as we waited to see some things potentially sort out. Michelle Piazza said, "I'm heartened by the NCAA rule change that allows unlimited coaches on the field. Hopefully that translates to a special teams coach to count to 11. So we are waiting on the official same word, Michelle, right? That there can be unlimited coaching, but it passed the D1 council. And I think it goes to the NCAA. Is that my understanding, Nick?
I think so. I think it's one of those things that, like, if the House and the Senate are Republican and pass a bill and it goes to a Republican president, like, you're just waiting for it to be signed. Like, I think it has gone through the vote and will become rule, I think, this month.
Okay, cool. So the Gators have unofficially, I believe, 791 support staffers. What do you think in terms of coaching? How many do you think would actually be on the field? Right. So there's 11 coaches.
Let me give my respect to the NCAA because they've done such a good job of policing this throughout the entire landscape of college football. And certainly none of these analysts or quality control assistants ever.
It's a sarcasm. If you don't know sarcasm, this is sarcasm.
Ever even dreamt of coaching or offering more than just a word of encouragement, either at practice or in the game. Mm-hmm. Certainly Russ Callaway, when he was just a quality control assistant for the defense, was not coaching. Ryan O'Hara, certainly, who the players credit for recruiting and coaching them, has never coached at Florida before. So I don't know how much of a difference it's going to make from a day-to-day, but I think Joe Houston coming and being a quality control assistant on special teams from New England, I think that's going to be a big thing for Florida special teams. And you'll be able to see him and Coach Couch actually coaching on the sidelines because they were not allowed, and we know that the NCAA did a really, really good job of making sure that analysts and quality control guys weren't coaching previously.
So what are we thinking? One additional per unit? I mean, because it starts to get noisy, right? Like, you're not going to have 30, right? You only have enough space in the box. Pause upstairs. But what do you guys think? Like, one more per position group?
I think they have everyone that they're going to have, and now you have all these guys can coach.
I think communication-wise, I think more like headset-wise, communication-wise, who the players go to on the sidelines for, like, you know, fixing up X's and O's is more the thing. But I think the number of people that's on the sidelines probably, like, stays the same.
Yeah.
Just communication-wise, like, how does everything goes down?
Yeah, I think you have to have an org structure, like an organizational structure. Like, who do I report to? Which one of my 17 associate athletic director of quality controls do I report to on game day, please?
Yeah. I am glad at least this gives them an official capacity to be able to learn and grow their careers as well. So,
yeah,
that's where we sit. That's where we
pay
sit
them too.
Yeah. And pay them. Right. Let's see, Nick, let's talk a little baseball. Everybody's favorite topic. Cade Fisher entered the portal. Alex Philpott out of the portal. Nick, give us the baseball minute.
Yeah, I think Cade Fisher was one that I was talking about with people in Omaha. I just don't – like, he got the opportunity to pitch on Fridays this year and just did not pitch well as a starter for Florida. So I thought, next year you get Liam Pearson back, Pierce Capala back. You're going to go into the portal to get guys. You have some really talented arms coming in the freshman class. I don't know that Cade Fisher is a weekend starter for Florida in 2025. And if you want to be a weekend starter, I thought he would have to go somewhere else. And he would be the one player, I think, that might go in the portal where Florida was like, we'd really like to have him back. Super experienced, especially have the bullpen, a guy that we can throw in high leverage situations. For me, he kind of just got away from what he was really good, what made him successful this year. He's a guy who pitched to contact, and Florida has great defense. And then this year, started letting his fastball ride a little bit high, which gave him some more swing and miss. The whiff rates and the strikeout numbers were way up for him, but also the hard contact. And if you're throwing 86 to 92 in the SEC, you might get some swing and miss with some high fastballs, but if you don't get it at the top of the zone, 86 is BP.
Balls out there,
86 is BP. So he's a really good player. He's a really good pitcher. I think he still needs to develop his third pitch. He needs to get that changeup really rolling. But he will be a weekend starter for someone. I just didn't see how he would do it at Florida. So it's a loss that hurts because you'd like him still in your bullpen in 2025. But I totally understand wanting to go somewhere and be a starter. And Alex Philpott coming back, he went into the portal with a do not contact tag. So I was not really worried about that. You know, sometimes you go into the portal with a DNC and you end up going somewhere else right away. Not that any school is tampering. Certainly not.
No, of course not. Unless we become a big fan of.
Which they should do more of, right?
Right.
Yeah,
we need
more tampering.
Not
coaches.
Doing it.
Add that to the sidelines. Tampering coaches.
Yeah. So I think getting Philpott back is big. He's a guy who pitched okay as a freshman, didn't really reach his potential, but a potential weekend starter down the line, as well as a guy that you can bring in out of the bullpen in SEC play for his sophomore year. Really good talent. I think Florida's doing a good job in the portal. I think it'll be really interesting if they get Ross to campus, the Samford pitcher. I expect him to be drafted. I'll put some – when I get back from this PTO, I'll put out a big draft story, and we can talk about that next week. It's been an interesting offseason. Florida certainly has their NIL figured out for baseball.
Let me ask you a question. What does this team look like without Jack next year? Like, he carried us offensively and defensively. Like, what does it look like without him next year?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. But, like, every year you kind of have players like that. Like, how do you replace Wyatt Langford? Shout out to Wyatt Langford. Just hit for the cycle last night. Awesome. Someone, I think it might have been last week, but somebody was like, who's the next Jack Caglione? I'm like, there isn't.
There isn't. No, there ain't.
There isn't. And that's not like, oh, Sully did a bad job recruiting. It's like, no, like, we just got to witness for 2.5 years because he didn't play at, coming off the Tommy John surgery, like a generational player and a generational talent. And you don't get that every single year. So there's not one person.
Urban Meyer found out how hard selling being the next Percy Harvin was, even to players that are doing similar things, right?
It wasn't hard. He was selling ice to an Eskimo. Everyone was
selling it in the recruiting, but it wasn't.
But it wasn't translating.
It wasn't materializing on the field.
But it got the kids to campus.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's not another
every power hitter that they can be the Sunday starter just to get them on campus. You know what I mean? The Urban way.
You see that kid Jack? You're the next him. Like
So like
Jack was pre you.
Yeah.
Jack in. Yeah, I think Jack has 75 home runs. So it's a Florida record that was set by Matt LaPorta. It's 13 off of the SEC record, and he had 1/3 of the at-bats of the guy who holds the SEC record. If you extrapolate home run per at-bat out so that Jack has his same
I like that word.
Yeah, that's a good, that's a good word. Yeah. Like that.
Gotcha. I get paid to write essays on the internet. Every once in a while, I'll throw a word at you. If you extrapolate that out, Jack would have like 112 home runs, completely shattering the SEC record. Matt LaPorta hit 75 in 4 years. Jack did that in 2.5. So there is no new Jack. I think Florida is hoping and almost betting on Colby Shelton, the starting shortstop, that he comes back. Blake Sears, a guy who's got 20 home run potential, the transfer from Miami.
I like him.
I think Landon Stripling's a guy who they think can hit 12, 15, 20 home runs. So you're going to have to find some more guys. Now, a lot of people were looking at the Texas A&M transfer portal players when their coach left for Texas. Pretty much everyone went in the portal. They kept a guy on staff to be their head coach, Coach Early, I'm not sure how you say it, who was big in recruiting all of those kids. I would expect Lavalette and Grahovic. Grahovic is really the one that I was looking at if you wanted any of those players. He's a 6'2", 225-pound freshman from California.
Got a tamper.
Who I think just hit 25 home runs. But I would expect all of them to be back on campus.
Is he the Rattlinbaugh guy, Nick?
No, that's Hayden Schott. Hayden Schott is the Rattlinbaugh guy.
Don't need to hear that at my baseball games. But I think he's coming back.
Yeah, there's still a lot of portaling to go.
When's the draft?
July 14th.
July 14th, so 13 days from now. Bro Day, Prince Jace says here in the chat, can hit 30 home runs when he actually makes contact. Big part of hitting a home run, of course, is making that contact. Nick, are you sold?
Sorry, I was looking at July 14th through 16th is a draft. When am I still on? Brody Donay can hit 30 homers. Brody Donay. So here's what I think happened with Brody. Brody in the fall, I had a call him a cross checker. Their scouts, MLB scouts, tell me that Florida had the two most raw power bats of any team in the country, and Jack Caglione wasn't number one on his own team. And at the time, I was like, You're crazy because Brody Donay had an oblique strain.
Yeah,
Brody Donay had an oblique strain. I hadn't really seen him hit. He had Brody hit the hardest ball at the College World Series this year. He's really, really talented. I don't think he's a catcher. I think Florida might want to try him in the outfield, but they need to get more catchers either through the transfer portal just through the transfer portal. I think the recruiting class is locked. But when Brody came in, he came in as a good hitter. And I don't think Florida wanted to tinker with his swing a lot. They just let him go at it the first month. And then they started changing things. He got benched for a long period of time, about a month. And I think they started changing some things. I watched, I'm seeing some highlights from the Cape Cod where he's playing Cape Cod League right now. And it looks like his swing is different. He's got a longer batting or longer stance, taking up most of the box. He's 6'5". Pause. But it looks like his swing has changed. And I think Florida's probably hesitant to get a kid from the transfer portal and completely retool him offensively. Because if it doesn't work, then you've got kids saying, look, they took Brody Donet and made him worse. Like, don't go to Florida in the transfer portal. They're not going to help you. So he comes back to Florida next year. He's absolutely a guy that can hit 30 home runs. It's just contact, and he doesn't pick up spin very well. The book was out on him pretty early on. Like, if you throw him a fastball, he might hit it 600 feet. But if you throw him sliders in the dirt, he's going to swing and miss a lot. So some stuff to clean up for him. But, yeah, he's absolutely a guy that can hit 30 bombs.
I'll speed him up then. Yeah, I'm still calling Cap on, like, the Jack. Jack is
I'm just the mailman delivering you the news that was put into my satchel this morning. That's all.
I rocks with it. Now, I hope Brody could do what y'all saying he could do. I just think it's a big drop off of
100%. That was a 8-minute version of there is no way to replace Jack Cagney.
All right, let's get into some other things. We were just talking about catching. This is my segue into Florida Gator softball catcher, Josie Erickson, was named the 2024 Johnny Bench Award winner. She's the only other Florida Gator. She's at the collegiate level. The award is presented to the best player in college baseball and college softball, respectively. She joined Mike Zanino as the only other recipient in U.S. history. I believe that's best catcher in either softball or baseball, respectively. Mike Zanino is the only other recipient of that award. Really, really cool for her and for the softball team, which after reading some articles, it looks like that team is really poised for a very deep run next year. Obviously, Oklahoma's out there, and they're the back-to-back-to-back national champions or back-to-back national champions. But I think the Gators are going to be right up there in the top three to start the season. So congratulations to Josie Erickson there. They also landed a softball transfer from Alabama, Kenley Callahan. So she's apparently a great player. She started, second team all SEC, batted 296, 5 triples, 2 home runs, 30 RBIs, really solid player for them. They also announced a graduate transfer infielder, Riley Holtorf. She was a 2024 all Pac-12 first team shortstop for the Huskies of the University of Washington, batted 290 with 21 doubles, 4 triples, 17 home runs, and 78 runs scored with 56 ribbies. And to top that off, they added UNC Wilmington pitcher Kara Hammack, who's going to have 1 year remaining. She went 39-19 with a 1.80 ERA over 327.2 innings, 33 complete games, 10 shutouts, and 267 strikeouts. So again, a lot of talent being infused into that roster. In basketball, the Gators announced that they are adding international center Victor Michik, I believe is how you say it. He's 6'11", coming from Serbia. He played 1 year of ball at in Chattanooga for Hamilton Heights, averaged 14.3 points, 10.2 rebounds per game. Offers from Bowling Green, Chattanooga, Hawaii, and Rutgers before moving to America. He was averaging a double-double over there. So the Gators are going to be very, very tall, including 7'9", Trent, our freshman, and international sensation on the on TikTok and Instagram, Oliver Rue, who's going to be joining that team as well, or who's already joined the team, but a lot of great front court talent for the Gators. Obviously very, very tall. Let's see. Into Olympics, Parker Valby did qualify for the Olympics. So congratulations to her. She just left the University of Florida after 3 great years just a couple weeks ago. So she's making it. Grant Holloway did a 12.86 110 meter hurdles, just 0.06 seconds off the world record. You guys watch any of the Grant Holloway stuff? Just guy's a machine.
Absolutely. I've been watching all the Olympic trial stuff, man. Big America this year in the sprints.
Big America. Yeah. Big America, guy.
Grant Holloway's almost setting world records in qualifying.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the video of the one girl? She was in the 110 meter hurdles and the top 27 advanced, and there's only 27 runners. So everybody else ran and she just like jogged over the hurdles just because she knew she wasn't going to advance. I'm like, that's some vet thinking right there. Let's see. Also earning their spot, Leah, Parker Valby. Great. Go ahead. We're gonna get to that. Nick, we're getting there. We're getting there, bud.
Gymnastics was watching it last night.
Grace Stark and Malcolm Clemens also are advancing. Stark ran a personal best 12.31 in the women's 100 meter hurdles, placed third overall. Parker Valby, third place in the women's 10,000 meters. Let's see. I think that's where we're at. Noah Lyles, obviously a Gainesville guy, I think was committed to the University of Florida at one point, decided to go pro. He is just an absolute beast on the track. He is going to be earning his spot there. Let's see. Omar Craddock is going to the triple jump. And Corey McKee earned her fifth place. Corvell Todd, a lot of stuff happening in the track and field events. Anna Hall is going. Jasmine Moore in the triple jump and the long jump. Grace Stark, we mentioned. Malcolm Clemens, and then Grant Holloway. Leanne Wong, like you said, Nick, secured her spot as an alternate for the U.S. Women's Gymnastics Program. Just an incredibly stacked roster. Going into Paris. Kayla DiCella, who's also on that team, also participated to try to earn her spot in the Olympics. I know there's a number of other players in a variety of other sports that are going. Caleb Dressel, I know, is one. Bobby Fink, Kieran Smith, a lot of names. Go check them out. Lots going on. Florida Gators in the Olympics. Anything else, guys? Nearing the end of our show here.
Nah, I'm ready for Paris, man. Big America, dog. I got my flags ready, dog. They stunned
all right, let's last I love time. The Olympics.
Me too, man.
Oh, I've got song of the week too. All right. So two quick ad reads. Give a quick shout out to our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Go visit them. Best vintage clothing, vintage design logos out there on the market. Go check them out. Use promo code Stadium and Gale. You'll get 15% off of your order and free shipping. Great products. Soft cotton. I know we've all worn their shirts and continue to wear them on this pod and outside in real life. And then go check out our friends over at Alumni Hall. Great place to get all of your Gators stuff, whether it's tailgating supplies, accessories, t-shirts, coaches, polos, and anything in between for anybody in your life. Go check out alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville on Archer Road.
Two things.
Yeah.
First question to Dan. Are you bringing out the cannon for the 4th of July this week?
No cannon. No cannon this time. Trying to figure it out.
Brooks, sorry, you ain't America.
Yeah, right, man. What's going on? It's
crazy.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out my 4th of July plans right now. Brooks and Tulum, there's actually a hurricane tracking right there. I don't think that they're leaving, but, wanted to bring that to her attention this morning. She's like, yeah. Anyway, so trying to figure that out. No cannon. I just don't know what a Category 2 looks like in Tulum. You know what I mean? I know what a Category 2 looks like in America, but I trust that she's got it taken care of.
Terry, I thought she was gonna be Terry in the wheelchair again.
it's interesting, Dan, because you put yourself in a predicament. You reached a level of patriotism, like straight up 1776 patriotism,
right.
with their own guns and cannons. And it seems like you've yet to match your level of patriotism from 4 years ago.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's been 4 years since the cannon incident. I need to find myself another cannon. I need to find myself a bigger cannon. You know what I mean?
It was a baby cannon.
Nick, I've always thought to myself, retirement in St. Augustine might be great to be able to do some of the reenactments and fire off the cannons.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm here in what is possibly our country's oldest city.
I don't believe it's possibly. I think it is. I think that's a factual statement.
For sure.
Yeah. At least ones that survived. You know what I mean? I'm sure there are some cities that you know, didn't make it. But what's your second question, Phil?
Oh, no, not a question. Go check out the Kevin Taylor interview on Full Factory YouTube channel. Really dope conversation. Also have the Scarlet Wind on there as well. So if anybody hasn't checked that out, go check that out.
Yeah, really good interviews, really enjoyable content. I really like the way that you guys are filming these and putting out that product. So if you're still watching,
I like that Kelvin Taylor and both Kelvin Taylor and Jordan Scarlett said, like, yo, when I was a freshman, pissed off that I wasn't getting the rock.
Yeah, like the expectations be crazy coming in. Like they expect to play right away. And then some lose their lid like a Darius Lemons and
just don't even really, lost it.
Yeah, he's lost his mind.
I wonder what Darius is up to these days. all right. You know.
Scalloping, probably.
Yeah. See, no, I don't think so. I'll be honest with you, Phil. I did not see a ton of diversity out there.
That's why we got to get me out there, baby. We got
to get out
there for the culture. I know. Yeah, I'm Nick. Yeah, yeah. I'm against the idea that this has to be a homogenous activity. You know what I mean? I've always been a big proponent of diversifying the crowds that are.
I could be the Jackie Robinson of scalloping if you get me out there, dog.
I like that. I like that. That's a great show title too.
One thing, the Jackie Robinson of scalloping. One thing, you need to put some sunscreen on your back. I don't care.
You do.
How much melanin you have in your skin. When you're scalloping, you're just like
you're floating
back out. Floating back up to the sun. My goodness, I got torched one time. I went scalloping.
Would encourage one of those fishing shirts, one of the Columbia shirts. The back of my neck got a little sunburn. It's mostly gone now. But yeah, I mean, you're sitting on top of the water. Some people float. Some people use a life jacket to float. For hours with nothing but the sun directly on you and then reflecting right off that water into you. So, but a fun activity. Silk, we'll try to get you out there next year. So,
let's make it happen.
What do you mean next year? The scalloping season's all month.
Scalloping season's a few months. No, it's I guess we could. I could get you up to Crystal River, Homosassa, or Yankee Town. We could do it.
Let's do it. If you
just
got to
find the time. Got to find the time.
Let me know. Just give me the heads up on your schedule, dog. I'll make it happen.
Yeah. Take a look. Maybe that. August. Maybe August. August works. August is open. August going to the DR in a few weeks. All right. So if you're watching.
Going out there solo?
No, going for a wedding. Brooke and I are going for a wedding. Okay. A disaster it's been so far.
You've been watching, going like between DR and Costa Rica, you went 1-2 with like a vibe there, a certain vibe.
Yeah, same situation, same bachelor party to the wedding.
Maybe Dan does have the cannon, but doesn't want TSA to know as he tries to fly.
Yeah, Nick, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring a cannon to the Dominican Republic, which shares an island with Haiti.
They may put you on the watch list.
He
said DR wedding sounds like cheating. That's why I asked, was he going alone a little bit? But he's not going alone.
No. Come on.
DR in Costa Rica is the same vibes with sex workers, is what it like.
Whoa. As somebody.
This is a wholesome show. It's not for us.
That's moral compass points north.
Shout out to Nathaniel in the comments. I know we're about to get out of here. Brian Poole, I do like that call. I'm definitely going to make that Brian Poole interview happen. But Louis Oliver is a guy I've been harassing for an interview. He's from my hometown. My personal GOAT. One of the reasons I'm a Gator fan, man. He's also a very wealthy man. I don't know if everybody knows the science of what he does in business, but he's one of those top guys when it pertains to just like real estate, media, entertainment. If you heard of Live Nightclub,
yeah,
he don't have his name on it, but that's Louis Oliver. Shout out to Louis, Belgrade GOAT.
If you're watching, hit the like button, subscribe button, share with your friends. We appreciate you guys for watching. We're going to start breaking down some teams on the schedule next week. We're going to get some interviews lined up. We're just working with some schedules right now. Mouse Holloway's got a couple things that he's trying to do. A couple other coaches that we're working on getting in before the season starts. So stay tuned to Stadium and Gale. We will update you guys on things as they happen. We appreciate you for watching. Let's get a song here. We're going to play Under Control. It's a Calvin Harris and Alesso song from a long time ago.
Bender vibes.
A bop. Definitely Bender a vibes. Song yeah. that even if you don't like EDM and house music, you will like this one. So we'll see you guys in the same corner, same time next week. We appreciate you guys for watching.
From the Situation Room. We now have sight of the meteor heading towards Earth, but at this moment it is still unclear as to whether or not it will hit. What we do know is that all resources are being used to minimize risk. This could be the end. I will keep you posted as we attempt to get the situation under control.
I might be anyone. A lone fool out in the sun. Your heartbeat of solid gold. I love you, you'll never know. When the daylight comes, you feel so cold. You know I'm too afraid of my heart to let you go. Waiting for the fires you light. Feeling like we could do right. I might be anyone, a lone fool out in the sun. Your heartbeat of solid gold. I love you, you'll never know. When the daylight comes, you feel so cold. I'm too afraid of my heart to let you go. Waiting for the fires you light. Feeling like we could do right. Be the one that makes tonight. Cause freedom is a lonely road. We're under control. Under control.